Pop Chasers, and happy April 12th, you guys. I am Allison, the host of Pop Chaser, a daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip, except it's not daily anymore. It's weekly, but I don't know. It's Tuesday. It's been a long weekend.
You still have the speech in your head because you did it every day for so long.
For like a year.
It just comes naturally.
Right. Thank you. And if you guys are wondering, who's that angelic voice that I hear? That is none other than Kaia Wilson, the social media connoisseur and also like a welcomed guest back to Pop Chaser. I know you guys love her. So Kaia, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's been a minute, you guys. I got sick, had to handle some things, and now I'm back. I'm here with Allison, and we love to key. We love to giggle, and I just feel like an unofficial co-host
of
the show, because I haven't been here for what? It's been at least like, what, 4 or 6 weeks?
Oh, I thought it's been like almost 2 months. Yeah.
It's 2 months too long.
Okay? 2 months too long. I know. But you guys, we have so much we want to get into. Some breaking news, I think. We'll get into that. But at first, I also know that we are being heard right now by the Hot Off the Mess listeners too, since Sam Bush is also sick.
Hey, y'all.
I know you guys, I hope you guys like me. I know Sam always jokes, but look, I'm not trying to like impose, but hop on over to the Pop Chaser feed too and subscribe if you want. But we are going to talk about Summer House first, because Kay and I, we watched the episode. It is winding down. As Lindsay said, we have 2 more weekends left of the summer and then we have the wedding. So it's like, there's still, don't worry. We're only on the 12th episode of the season, but it is winding down and you can feel it in the air. You can see people are starting to bring like a coat for the night because it gets a little chilly.
Is it going to be like a wedding special? Like, are they going to name it like Kyle and Amanda's wedding special? Or is it just going to be like an episode of Summer House that just throw in there?
I know. I wonder if it'll be like multiple episodes too. But also like, how much is there to really do for their wedding? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because they're starting so late. They're like, I actually recently made a community post. If you guys haven't been in community, you have to log on to thedip.com and come to the community and answer my questions and ask your own. I was like, how many days does it take to break or like make a habit?
Yes.
And they said 28.
Yes, that came up today. I was like, oh my God, what? Kay just asked this.
So they have 28 days to basically plan this whole wedding. We're going to see that fall out in the next few episodes. This whole prenup thing and this lover boy thing,
well,
it stresses me out because I'm like, Amanda, I'm sorry, more so than Carl and Kyle, Amanda is lover boy.
100%.
I love the products, don't get me wrong, but it's the aesthetic that got me to the product.
Yeah, but okay, you and I have differing opinions on prenups. We've discussed this, but let's start from the beginning of the episode, because can you feel it in the air, the Lindsay and Carl thing? Like, they are just like dangling a carrot right in front of us, and they're just like, ooh, you do want this? You want this? You just wanted to be like, it didn't come out of nowhere.
They're basically like, oh, just wait until the wedding episode. You'll see how it all culminates.
Yeah.
And but this episode, we especially saw it when, you know, they were chatting. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, when they were at the lunch, brunch, whatever they were.
Where
and
they
he
bags.
Asked her, is she okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but me personally, I don't know. I still don't. It's not that I don't understand. It's just that I don't really like them together, because I feel like that's their best friend.
Mm.
And that's, I can't marry someone who knows everything about me. A girl has to have her secrets, especially going into a marriage. And she doesn't have one damn secret from Carl. And maybe that's what she needs, but I just don't see him as, you know, like an assertive decision-making figure for Lindsay, who is an alpha queen.
Capricorn.
Boss. Yeah.
Well, here's what I was going to say. I feel like I understood Carl's whole thing about Mackenzie. First of all, Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, that was never going anywhere. I'm sorry.
No, that was like watching paint dry. It was so uncomfortable. But I understood what he was saying, where he's like, I need to work on myself right now. Right. And when you're working on yourself, the last thing you can do is like, feel you need to invest in another person and right. have them learn about you, which is why I think the Lindsay thing makes sense, because she already knows everything about him. So he doesn't need to like, it is so exhausting when you start dating someone.
You gotta bring them up to speed.
Yes, exactly. Like half of your time spent together is like, oh, and then this one time this happened and this one time. And the reason I do that is because, and it's like his trauma is so known by Lindsay that like, mm-hmm. she doesn't need to be educated in all of that. So I actually really understood. It goes 100%. Yeah. And
they both know each other.
Mm-hmm. So I get that. It's there is like a comfort to it, an ease to it. I have never dated a best friend. Like I've never had a guy friend that's then become like a boyfriend. So I don't know the complicated time, like nature of that. But I mean, have you?
No, I've never dated one. And I have two guy best friends, and anytime someone like assumes that we're dating, I'm like, ew, like gross, you know, because it's just like, that's my best friend, especially if you've been best friends for like a certain amount of time,
right?
And you know like where the dead bodies are, like what they've done in their relationships, and they know what you've done in your relationships, mm-hmm. or even just like things about your family or things that you want secret that you never want to bring up again, they know everything about that, and I just can't see myself dating them.
Right. I mean, I guess you're supposed to like be entirely yourself with your partner.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be able to trust them. You're supposed to be able to tell them everything about you, anything about you. They should be able to accept who you are.
Do you think you should have secrets? I just feel like
that kind of just takes out all of the magic of getting to know someone, mm-hmm. and especially if you are a changed person, mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes your best friend won't see you as a changed person, whereas when you meet someone new, you are now that person who's done the work, who is a different person, and you can explain, this went on, but this is where I was in my life, mm-hmm. and this is how I fixed it. Whereas when you're with your best friend, it's just like, they already know where your headspace was, and they don't really understand kind of, you know, the new person that you are. Does that make any sense?
No, it does. And I actually kind of feel like we're seeing that with Maya a little bit, and like whoever she was with her Top Chef ex-fiance, she's a completely different person now. And we've talked about like, I'm good alone. And I really respect that. I'd love to know, is she a Capricorn too? Because I do get Capricorn vibes.
I feel like I get Capricorn behavior from her, especially because she's just like, no, you know, I'm good.
So standoffish in like a good way.
Yeah, but it's like she can have fun and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just that she is her own woman. And especially when you live and you learn and you're engaged for 5 years and like that doesn't work out, you're not interested in wasting time, but you're also not interested in rushing into anything.
Yeah. I really get Capricorn. I'm going to look up her birthday, because like also the way she like shuts down when someone like,
but even if it's not, if it's not Capricorn, maybe it's like an earth sign in her
charts. That's true. Oh, she's an Aquarius.
Really? Okay. So then her moon must be like an earth sign.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Well, okay. So anyway, I do think we're seeing that with Maya. I felt kind of bad for her, because I can see what's happening in that, like the house is kind of pushing her into this thing with Oliver.
It's not ready.
No. And also like she's just like, if she was like, she can just move at her own pace. And so like, maybe that's only seeing him once a week or once every 2 weeks. And like the whole like bringing him to the beach, and it was just so awkward. And I felt awkward for him. I felt awkward for her. I felt awkward watching Lindsay and Ahmed. Like, they're calling each other baby. Did you hear that? They were like,
and they're like, she met him Friday. And I'm like,
I know.
What exactly is going on? And that's why I'm just like, you know, people will stand this behavior. You know, I'm already going to see people are like, oh, that's Hub House for you. Ha ha ha. Amazing. because she went off basically. But it's like Sierra loses it a few times, or not even a few times, she loses it once, can't live it down. But Lindsay can literally call someone multiple times, curse them out for not coming to her house, who she met less than 72 hours ago, that she's going on a double date with Maya, which is even, which made it even more awkward, because with Maya and Oliver, she was, didn't mind him not coming to the house, whereas Lindsay is like, a man should have came to the house. Like, it's just such a clusterfuck of,
it
like,
is
in two different kind of people, two different dating styles and everything.
That's an interesting point you bring up with Sierra, because I've been like, really, I think the thing about Sierra for me is I just, when she's not involved in drama, she's just not interesting to me. Like, I just want her to be cut. Okay, but this is what I wrote in my notes. Sierra seems like a fantastic friend and support system, which is why it's wild to me that she's so off the mark with Austin, because when her, she was talking to Maya about her relationship with her dad, and it reminded me again of how she like allowed Maya to take her time about being a Black woman in the Hamptons too. Cause that's the other thing, is sometimes this house really like, they hold your feet to the fire to like trauma purge, and Sierra has always just been so patient. And I was like, wow, like I actually kind of felt like the nurse vibe in her during that scene. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm watching it and I'm like, wow, like I would love to have Sierra as a friend. And so, but then I was like, but then also like, what the hell is she doing? Like, how is she
distracted? It's just Austin will make you, Austin has the power to make you dislike whoever likes him or whoever he's involved with. Because if you think about it, Madison is really not a villain. Like, I will stand by this. Madison is not a villain. She's a hardworking single mom who got tangled up with Austin. They were equally like gaslighting each other. He really cheated on her on camera, but somehow, you know, Craig blew everything up with this whole J-Lo thing and all that shit. But it's like, whoever is in a proximity to Austin, it makes them less likable, because that's how I felt with Lindsay.
Yeah.
And I liked Lindsay.
Yeah.
But the way that she acted around Austin, it made me like, you know, dislike her a little bit. But then when Austin left, it's like, I see why I like Lindsay. I like Sierra. I love everyone in this house. But it's just, get these Southern Charm boys off of it.
Off of it.
And you know what else I noticed is that Sierra is to Paige as who Paige was to Hannah. So I didn't know how I was going to like Paige without Hannah. So when this season premiered, I'm like, okay, so we saw in Winter House, her and Sierra were, you know, close friends. So their bond is even stronger in Summer House now. And it reminds me of how Paige kind of used to be Hannah's crutch. And I didn't think that Paige, even though Paige had storylines with, you know, Carl or whatever, I just wasn't really invested in Paige.
Yeah.
I was invested in her fashion, but not her storyline. And now that we have Paige being a main character, we kind of have Sierra as her crutch, who she has these side storylines, and it's not like we're not able to really see Sierra as Sierra. But as the time goes on, and you know, now that she's done with Austin and we have another Black woman in the house, I think that we'll be able to get more of Sierra for like who she is.
Yeah. And I have to just say, like, in terms of like Maya being in the house, like, I really hope she comes back if she wants to, because she just, I really like her. And I understand that she's maybe not the most like, she's not drama filled at all. She is the girl who watches Netflix and stays in on a show where you're supposed to go out and black out. And, but there's something about her that's just so likable. And she is honestly probably one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my entire life. Like,
and relatable.
Mind blowing. She looks great at the reunion.
Oh my gosh, she looks so gorgeous. It's just like, I love Summer House because they just don't really give a fuck about their reunion at all.
No, I mean, some of them are straight up athleisure. Yeah.
Like, Top Man, like. And it was just like, yes.
Wait, okay.
Like, that's the only show where like the men are trying more than the women. But I think 100%. That Maya's another Danielle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, and sometimes that's just like a slow burn. Another. Yeah. It's a slow burn. Speaking of Paige, I had a tough time following the whole logic of the Andrea Paige being mad and feeling like she was used. Because the way I remember it, and listeners, feel free to like call me out if I'm not remembering this right. But Paige truly made this like the final two of The Bachelorette and was like, right. Who am I gonna pick? And right. She just picks Craig, but doesn't seem to tell Andrea that. And right. Then is like all in on Craig. And from my understanding, Andrea told this girl, Lexi, who he's with right now. So it's like, this is kind of all moot. I can't be with you right now because I'm maybe exploring. I want to be single. Yeah. I don't want to be exclusive because I'm maybe exploring this thing with Paige. I'm going on the show with her. And Paige is like, that makes me feel used. And I was just confused because all of the girls, I was just like, am I missing something here? Because I thought like, I completely understood where Andrea was coming from. Also, he's got to stop being so sad. It breaks my heart.
No, yeah. Like, I hate feeling sorry for men. And he makes me feel sorry for him so much, especially with, like, his little, like, Mario Kart accent.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just like, he literally.
The line of the night. The line of the night. You went from Niagara Falls to Sahara.
And I'm like, I don't know what he means, but that was really funny.
Oh, you don't know what he means?
No, like.
Okay.
Oh, now that I think about it. Anyways, I feel shock.
Like, I feel shock.
I feel shocking. But I don't think that Paige has it right. I think that she's actually trying to make it so she doesn't look so bad to us because of what she did with Craig, actually.
Right, because she's also on this bus saying she would move for this boy. And I'm like, oh, so like you, let's be honest, let's call it as it is. Like, you were always going to be with Craig. Like, you weren't considering.
And she's fucking lying, because guess what, they were just on watch. That's what I don't understand. They were literally like 2-3 weeks ago, I don't know, the timeline messed up in my head, but 2-3 weeks ago they were on Watch What Happens Live. Andy literally asked them, would you move to Charleston or would you move to New York? And they go, oh, I think, you know, it would be crazy for us to, you know, move with each other right now. And this show was taped months ago, and she's literally saying that she would move for him. And not only that, she's not in love with him. Like, am I
right? But she's but also, kid, she's like in the honeymoon stage right now. So like, when mm-hmm. you're in that, like, you know, good, you know, she had just come off of a weekend with him. Like, she was mm-hmm. probably in that afterglow and was just like, yeah, I'll move to Charleston. I'll move to,
you know what, I'm also realizing when you're telling, you just made me realize that not only is she in the honeymoon stage, but we're in the pre-Naomi stage. We haven't seen Southern Charm yet.
That's the tea. Because as we know,
whether we see it on camera or not, that's the tea.
So I'll be mad if we don't see it, because that's just like such a big part of the story.
Right. And it's like, if you guys want to acknowledge Dumois and talk about what Dumois posted, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the husbands. Let's talk about the posts.
Let's talk about it. Okay, wait, speaking of Dumois, our girl Amanda, who loves a Dumois merch item. So they're going back and forth about this prenup. I agree with you. Amanda is lover boy.
Yeah.
But the thing is I think it's so often that like prenups are always like seen as the man is going to walk away with what, like, it's going to fuck over the woman in this situation. And I don't mean to make this like heteronormative, but in this case, that's kind of like, oh my God, if he makes you sign a prenup. But the thing is a prenup can be whatever you want it to be. And so mm-hmm. it's two parties who are entering in and deciding what the division of assets will be if their marriage ends. So Amanda can and should in that prenup say 50%. I want 50% ownership of Loverboy or whatever her demands are. It is just as beneficial for her as it is for Kyle. And when it does involve a business, it is so imperative because I have one of my old roommates. I found this so interesting. Her and her business partner started a company, a marketing company, and it was a huge decision. They didn't want to have 50-50 ownership in it. And they also didn't want to have one person have 51% and another have 49 because it's this complete. So what they ended up doing was both having 49 because you have to have somebody who's going to, they both had 49 and then they had somebody else take 2%. Mm-hmm. So then it was this, nobody had majority ownership. And it was like, she's one of my best friends. I can never see us separating in this business, but things happen.
Just in case,
We need to, it was incredibly awkward to bring up how I didn't want her to have the majority. And I also didn't want to have it, but it's like one of those things that like in the end will benefit Amanda so much, especially if she gets it. And also like they got one, I feel like they already had one when they were even filming all of this. Don't you? Like you have to get you're supposed to have a prenup like settled. Like you're supposed to start those negotiations like 3 months before your wedding, if not longer.
You are. But I feel like.
And they were supposed to get married like 2 years ago.
They said that they're running out of time to even put something in place. And I feel like we're seeing them literally plan their wedding. So they're just both procrastinators. So I might actually believe that they don't have anything in place.
I felt that when Kyle was like, we have just as much to do and just less time to do it. And I was like, ain't that the truth? The goddamn truth.
Exactly.
Story of my life.
Exactly. So my whole thing on the prenup is that every word that you said is completely true. That a prenup is, the terms of agreement, just in case something happens, you never know what happens. But I also feel like it's planning for when we decide to divorce, AKA whenever you decide to cheat on me, because I just feel like that's the grounds for divorce for me. So we're planning for when you decide to cheat on me. You already know in your head what I'm gonna get and what you're gonna get. And I feel like sometimes a prenup prevents you from possibly getting more. Because let's just say Amanda and Kyle, they have kids. Amanda's going to be doing most of the work.
Yeah.
With the company, she's going to be putting just as much work in as Kyle or as she is now. But she's only going to be reaping half of whatever or the terms of the agreement that they made. Sometimes in a prenup, we see that the woman gets the house, the dog, the kids, the car, and the man just gets the business. Like, I feel like it not only
stands
for if you split, but you can also get more if you don't sign the
prenup. No, but that's, I think, the misunderstanding is what you can do is, or what Amanda should do in this situation. I totally understand what you're saying about the kids is, first of all, she's going to get alimony. I love that we're talking about it. We were like,
let's be real. We're Capricorns.
She's going to get alimony. I know. And like, we care about money. Like this is important to us. So she's going to get alimony. But the other thing is she can then ask for, she decides like we split it in half, everything that they make once married as a union, they can decide how they want to split that too. Because let's say Loverboy blows up. She can have it written in. I mean, it's already big, but you know what I mean? Where suddenly we're talking like Theranos, $9 billion kind of company.
Well, where I can actually access Loverboy because I live in South Florida and I can't get it anywhere. So if they can get it in Southern stores.
Get it in a Publix, goddammit.
Get it in a Publix.
A Wegmans.
Chicken tender sub and a Loverboy and be okay.
But what she can also do is put in something about having kids, like, you know, for a kid that
because
is
it's a contract. So you're able to negotiate.
Of course. You should have all of those conditions in there. And maybe some of them are like amendments and whatnot. But I think that would be included in it. It's not like, oh, we have $200,000 right now. We each get $100,000. It's like the variable. I think, I don't know. I've never been married and I've never had a prenup. What I am interested
in, but we're discussing,
is the Ashley Darby move, which is to look for a post nap.
Right. And
that's something that maybe Amanda wants to consider.
See, now me, I'm not with prenups, but I'm definitely with post naps.
So can I just tell you, I know this is so off topic, but I really think I have a theory about Ashley. I have a friend who's currently watching Potomac for the first time.
Oh and my so she, God.
I know. I know, I'm so jealous. She's like texting me and I was like, oh, to be you right now.
Right.
And she just is texting me like quotes from Karen. I just want to see if I can find one really quick because they're just like, guys, Potomac is just so good. Ashley, is
you have excited? To make money to owe money will always be my favorite Karenism.
Oh, for me, it's Ashley asks, is Ray being indicted? And then Karen laughing goes, is Michael being indicted for swinging his ding-a-ling all over Instagram? Like, that is cinema. That is theater.
And if you wanted to know why Karen got the spinoff.
Yeah, seriously.
Go back and watch Potomac, especially seasons 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. So I have a theory though that Ashley, like, this is like such a conspiracy, but I love Ashley. So I say this all out of respect. I think when she brought up the post-nup thing, which I believe her and Michael didn't end up getting, but like maybe that's still on the table, is I think that she wanted to have, what's the second baby's name?
Another kid, Dylan.
Dylan, yeah, baby Dean and Dylan. And waiting for him to, so she can then get this alimony for as many kids as possible.
Right.
And have him.
How many do I want to pop out?
She knows. She knows. It's just, it's a matter of when, not if. It's a matter of when with Michael.
And that's why she was like, you want to start a movie company? Mm-hmm. Let me have this other child first.
Yeah, seriously.
So post-nup.
Yeah.
So just in case you turn into Randall fucking Emmett where you're losing all this money.
Right.
Bleeding money. I have my coins exactly. For when I leave you.
Exactly. I don't know. That's just a theory. But okay, back to Summer House. I just want to say, I actually feel really bad for Alex. I know I've made fun of him a lot.
I was just about to ask you, what do you feel about Alex? He was literally there just to console Andrea and to say that, you know, I'm really forming a bond with these people. These people are my friends after we haven't seen him since like episode 2.
But what I thought was so weird was they were like, we've missed you. But it was like, he was literally there at the party. Like
you're lying.
Don't lie to me. It's just so weird. And every time somebody addresses that he was gone, we never see their mouth move. It's like always from the back of the head.
Yeah,
so
voiceover.
It's all added in post. But I actually felt bad for him because people talk to him like he's like a fucking idiot. And they're just like, Alex, I think it's great that you're coming out of your shell. You've really softened up. And it's like, oh my God, you guys are talking
don't
to him.
Blame the producers for saying, okay, we're going to show Alex this episode. So talk to Alex.
Like they're literally, the way Kyle was talking to him as he ate a s'more, he's like, you've really loosened up, bud. Attaboy. Have a carb.
It was one s'more. And they're like, Alex, I'm so glad we had this breakthrough. Like, it was insane. I'm like, are we watching the same show? Like, did I miss something where he came back and explained why he wasn't in 4 episodes?
I know. It was literally, so weird.
Oliver has been in more episodes than Alex.
Yeah. So I think Ahmed said more in this episode than Alex has all season. Okay, let's move on to another story in the news. So this was something that my group text was obsessed about this weekend, and that was some Bachelor drama that happened on TikTok. Did you see this, Kaya? Oh my God, I'm excited to tell you.
I didn't see it like live.
Okay.
I read some posts on Instagram, and I was waiting for you to tell me from beginning to end.
Okay, so this girl, her name is Sasha. She posts this TikTok. She's like, I think I just broke up a bachelor marriage. Oh my God, I can't believe it. And I will just say this, the way she like approached the whole telling the story already to me felt very like
a story time TikTok
attention seeking. You know, I was like, girl, you found your lighting. You like she like angled her body on like a 45 degree angle in a window. Wait,
was
sill.
She like outside, like telling you like
she's on a window sill? She was sitting, it was like the next day or something like that. Okay. So she's telling, basically she says, I was at a bar this weekend and a guy came up to me and we were talking and he said, do you watch The Bachelor? And she's like, no, I don't. And I immediately was just like, okay, but, whatever, maybe she doesn't. And she, long story short, says that she goes home with him and, oh, he told her, he's like, I was just on it. And she doesn't think anything of it. I think she thinks he was just like a contestant or something. She goes home with him. Who knows what happens? Dot, dot, dot. She leaves. And then she finds out later that suggests that it's Clayton Eckard, AKA the guy that just was The Bachelor and is currently dating Susie. So this is drama because like, what the fuck? That is like crazy.
Well, but not only is he allegedly what cheating on Susie, but announcing that he was The Bachelor. Like, wouldn't you think that he would just go ahead.
Be a little more subtle, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. But she posts this, turns off the comments. You can't like see anything. Susie then posts something on TikTok and is like, right. Clayton is, she's like, I FaceTimed him. He's in Arizona. He is literally like sending me like a Friday night workout at like an Arizona gym. He's with his brother. And so she's like, I don't think this is, she's like, this isn't true. He's in Arizona. And then Reality Steve got involved and had like an hour
long. I heard Reality Steve went live and I'm like, yes. Wait, why did we?
I watched it. I watched his video. It's on his Instagram. I watched it on his Instagram. I didn't watch it. Know
what Reality Steve looks like, and that's why okay. I hate that ruined. And
this like did you see it?
He came out of his mystery.
Okay, he's not that mystery. His face is plastered all over his blog. His face is all over his blog.
I don't go on his actual blog. I go on his Twitter. It's always him like tweeting about something. I don't know what this man looks like.
Okay, well his Twitter bio is his picture on Twitter is also his face, but he is like a middle-aged man. And it's mind-blowing. But he says he had a call with Sasha and basically like
why is he talking to Sasha?
She sent a video of them leaving the apartment that she went back with him to. And he was like, that's not Clayton. So it's like, okay. So this girl literally has to make like an apology video, say that she, you know, is sorry that she stirred up shit. This guy is definitely just like Tinder swindlering women in New York. And I will just say this. He says, Reality Steve said that they were at Penny Farthing, which is a bar in the East Village. I went there when I was like 22. And I don't think a Bachelor winner is hanging out at Penny Farthing. If you live in New York, you know Penny Farthing and you just know. It's like, that's where you go if you're like an NYU student. So the moment I heard Penny Farthing, I thought, no, that's not
good. It sounds suspect.
It's suspect.
And I understand that he is a freestyle rapper and all these things, but I don't think that he would be at Penny Farthing from what I hear.
From what you hear. Anyway, that is, it has been kind of a wild, I appreciate Susie because she really had fun with the TikTok that she made, like saying, no, this wasn't him. I recommend you guys watch it if you ever, like it's making me come back around.
But do we know who this guy actually is? No, because now it kind of gets... like messed up if he's like stealing Clayton's identity, and not only that, but just lying to a woman about
who he is, and then possibly that's again, I don't want to like suggest that they slept together, but like that's like exactly. I mean, that really that's like gets into like a question of consent, like isn't
exactly.
that? I don't mean that's to like make this a bigger like,
do we know
thing.
Who he is, or are they in it together? Like, maybe. Why didn't you like? Couldn't you Google Clayton Etchert and like look at this man and see that this is not Clayton Etchert? Or
it was like it's like really strange. All of it is strange. And we want to like believe women in their stories that they have experienced. She seems fine in terms like emotionally, which I'm happy about.
Bingo.
But it's just like it is so hard. These like TikTok and Instagram, but mostly TikTok, and like the growth of story time is so just like feel like there are no ramifications for saying whatever you want to say. And it, right. that's just not the truth. Like there are consequences. And I don't know. I just like, I hope, I don't want to sound like a PBS, you know, after school special right now, but like sometimes just because you can, and just because you have an account doesn't mean you should.
Doesn't mean you should. Hallelujah. And I just also feel like if this is true, she needs to literally out this guy mm-hmm. and be like, this is the guy. You need to beware.
There's no like photos of him or anything. It's like very much a one night stand, but I hope like other people are like, wait, this guy did this to me too. Like
not clean.
I mean, this is literally Tinder swindler. Just wait for the text message that says, can I get $25,000? My enemies are after me.
What's the guy's name who used to host The Bachelor?
Chris Harrison.
Chris Harrison is following me. I need $25,000.
Oh my God. Also, just to like really, well, never mind. Okay.
Please say it. Please. Because I'm literally mind blown by the fact that this was literally just a lookalike. And now we have Reality Steve going live, whose face I've never seen in my life. I swear to God. And now I'm going to go on Reality Steve's profile and like, follow this story from the beginning because I've been seeing snippets of it. I know that, shout out to Morgan P Talks, who has a podcast with The Dip. Susie commented on one of her TikToks because Morgan has been doing a great job covering it, but I just haven't been able to catch up with all of the videos. So this whole thing is insane. But what were you gonna say?
No, it was about the Tinder swindler. I'll just say it just to like give you guys an idea of the difference of like men and women. My boyfriend hasn't seen the documentary, but I explained it to him and he says, guy sounds like a legend. Meanwhile, I'm like horrified. So that's just like how men and women see things differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like a legend. Okay. Speaking of legends, Beverly Hills is returning soon. We are mere weeks away. And there was some drama this weekend involving one Erica, Jane Girardi, and Garcelle Bubo. Now, Kaya, can you walk me through? Did you follow this? Because all I know is I was seeing a book in a garbage next to a phone from 1922. Alexander Graham Bell's
first phone. That's probably the one thing that I cannot explain is the phone.
Okay, but so talk us through this.
Obviously, the trailer dropped, broke the internet, broke the Bravo fan base. We've been torn in two. And not in a good way, because no one's actually like on Erica's side. But one of the most iconic things that were said in the trailer, other than, you know, you need a new villain, and here I am by newcomer Diane or whatever, Garcelle says, I don't need to make you look bad. You do a good job at it yourself.
Oh, God.
Absolutely not just iconic, but it's the truth. It's like, the truth. She's allegedly the front man for all of this bullshit, and she's over here posting Lil' Kim lyrics, putting her ass in the air.
Garcelle is also so good at delivering a takedown, but in the most like casual delivery. Like, she says it as if, like, you can tell she's not rehearsing these things, which like Erica, it all comes off so rehearsed sometimes, but Garcelle's delivery is just so, I mean, she is a performer. She's an actress and she never.
I just think that she literally just says what's on her mind.
She just knows that.
And then you have like Dorit talking about how she speaks four languages and that didn't make sense in one. I'm sorry.
Out of the world, Kaya.
That line out. That was like the worst read, a rehearsed ass read.
Yes. But Garcelle just like, she's so natural. And authentic. When I say she's an actress, I don't mean it in that she comes off like she's actually acting. I mean it more in that, like, she never gets like overly, she knows how to control her emotions when she delivers things, which makes them that much more cutting. So when she says to Erica without raising her voice, just says, I don't need to make you look bad. You do a good enough job all by yourself. I'm like, oh, it is so beautiful.
And that's what happens when you also like don't need the show. Yeah, we know who Garcelle is before she even came on our TV screens. So it's like, it is what it is. But anyway, so that was the line. Everyone loved that line. We talked about it. We voted on it. It was iconic. And so she has a book coming out called Love Me As I Am. I already got the book. It's really good. It comes out on April 14th, I believe. Great. So you guys, Stan Garcelle, buy her book. So anyway, so she takes the snippet because she sees that it went viral. She takes the snippet and then she goes, oh, you know what else will make you look bad? Not getting a copy of Love Me As I Am. So it's a snippet of her saying that iconic line, and then it's a video of her book. Erica catches wind of it. I guess Erica, you know, got the book already, you know, like us exclusive people do, you know, we get the books early. So she got the book and she threw it away. And she took a picture of it sitting perfectly in the, I think this is the recycle bin. And in the recycle bin, it's just a bunch of, like, there's a Starbucks cup, but then there's also like a 1990s telephone, office phone in it. And it's just the most confusing thing ever. So now we're all losing our minds because Erica's just embarrassed herself because where's your book?
What was the caption that she put? Oh, well, Erica did have a book.
Erica did have a book, and not only did she have a book, this book that Erica has is not helping her with anything because she talks about her company being hers. She makes it seem like, you know, everything is in her name while she's denying that she knows anything.
What was Erica's caption? It was like such a good...
It was in her stories because she's too pussy to put it in her timeline. Let's see.
Oh my God, Kaya. Here she goes. She captioned it at Garcelle, even though you unfollowed me, I'm sure you'll see this. Lips.
Right.
And but you guys, I'm literally looking at this garbage and it is fucking crazy. There is a phone that is the size of like a Texas Instruments calculator that you needed in high school. It is enormous. I can't understand, like, it's just like Erica needs to remember that, like, Garcelle, like, this book was not like a Hail Mary for like, we have known Garcelle, she is somebody who is like a legend. She's a legend.
She's one who needs a book. And yes, Erica did.
I actually want to read her book.
Ago who didn't need a book. What have you
but
done?
I mean, and look, I actually really loved Erica's book when it came out. Like
when it came out, and not just after the fact when we're investigating it and trying to send this bitch to prison.
Oh God. But I just think that like everyone is writing a book. Let's like it's not, you know,
literally.
It's just such a silly thing to be like, oh, I'm throwing your book out. It's come on, like.
But then to take a picture of it,
you know,
and then Tiger. Talk about how you've been unfollowed by Garcelle, like that's actually more embarrassing than getting your book thrown out. Like Garcelle Beauvau unfollowed me and you're talking about it. It clearly messed you up, but it's crazy because when the season first started filming, we saw her and Erica going to the gym. We saw them hang out. We saw them, you know, at the real party. Mm-hmm. And then I think some things happened after, you know, they partied with the ladies of the real to where they got into an argument. And obviously Garcelle said that she called me a name that I didn't like. So that's why they're not friends anymore, is because Erica called her a name. I don't know what the name is, but she better watch her mouth. She called her a name that she didn't like. And we're going to see that play out on screen. And it's not that I don't like Erica. I really like the drama that she brings. It's just that it seems like she went from not really being a try hard to trying to be clever and witty. Yeah. When it's your time to be humble, dude. Like literally people are, orphans and widows are missing their money.
I just think like this is now like, I hate to be like constantly, this is how I would have played it as if I was a PR person, but because I did that with the Will Smith thing. But I just think that like, this was her season to come back, tail between her legs, be funny, but don't be controversial. Give somebody else the limelight. The thing that kills me, oh, and also like show sympathy, show what you didn't do last season. Mm-hmm. What kills me is in the trailer, when they bring up the whole Kathy thing, which like, I don't know how much they're going to get into, but it kind of looks like they're going to get into a lot. And Kathy, I think, says, like, are you doing this just so like the attention isn't on you? And she was like, yeah, it was on me last season and I don't want it to be on me again. I'm like paraphrasing, but she's just point blank being like, yeah, I'm doing anything in my power to, I will drag anybody for the sake of me not being the one with the spotlight on me. And not to say Kathy might not deserve the spotlight, from what I've heard, she very much deserves to be dragged. So
yeah, I mean, if the rumors are true, but
the other thing
that Erica does is, like, in the trailer she says that, like, the only person that she gives a fuck about is herself or something along the lines of that. And it's like, you're making everything like worse. Like, dude, I get it if you didn't know and if you truly are innocent, but there's a difference between being innocent and at least being human. Like, at the end of the day, if you had nothing to do with it, these people still are suffering.
I feel like your husband had
something to do with that.
Allegedly.
So I would literally be embarrassed. Like, I would be so sorry.
Like, I feel I have more sympathy for the alleged victim. So that's why it's just so crazy. Like, I don't know what crisis manager, I guess Raina said she didn't hire one. So that's her loss.
That's clear.
Okay, Kale, let's move on. You wanted to mention something about Jason Oppenheim.
Oh, yes, our short king, whose birthday, it was Jason's birthday. Notice I said Jason, not Brett.
It was
Jason's birthday over the weekend. And he had a party and it was great. He turned 44 years old. So happy 44th birthday to our short king who should be listening to this. But anyways, I just wanted to address the fact that now everything is getting ramped up. The Selling Sunset trailer recently dropped and it was iconic because we're getting old nasty Christine Quinn back. Old nasty, like, bad bitch Christine. And she has a new friend, Chelsea, who is a Black girl. So it's like Black girl magic and they're both going to be mean and I love it. So it's like season one vibes. But anyways, they're talking about how, you know, Jason and Chriselle was in a relationship. But, you know, now that they're doing press interviews, I think he did an interview with The Mirror, and The Mirror talked about how people believe that their relationship was fake. And he addressed it actually like head on, as if he's like this heartbroken. He was basically Andrea. He said that he thinks about Chriselle every single day. He said, usually I'm good at getting on with business, but right now I think about her every day. It is really tough.
Hmm.
And when they addressed him about like possibly faking this relationship, he says, that was the most real relationship I've ever had.
What?
I swear to God. So the idea that it was somehow not real is something I just don't feel the need to comment or respond to. And that literally blew my mind because, as you can see, before the relationship with Chriselle, he was very much still on Mary, who was married to Romaine, and they still share custody of a dog.
Yeah, so we saw that birthday party.
The realest relationship that you've had when you were basically almost married to Mary.
I don't know if I can say this, but I will say this. I've seen some of Selling Sunset and I can tell you there is no chemistry between those two.
So it's
and I just feel, again, I have only worked in the entertainment media industry. So I have a pretty good idea of like how people play things to come out on top. If we are suspecting that this relationship is fake, now, before the show even premieres, what is our investment in it? If Jason comes out and is like, I still think about her every day, we're going to be watching this season with a whole new different set of lenses. Do you know what I mean? But if he's like, yeah, it wasn't fake, but like, it was a good run, we would be watching their relationship with no qualms because it's tough that they're not together anymore. And we need to have that investment of like, why do we even care to watch it then? And him saying it's because I think about her, that's going to make you watch it and be like, I kind of root for them. That said,
he's lying to my face. And the thing is, I actually think about this relationship every day. I think about it more than him.
I'll never forget that dancing video. on the boat when she's like grinding up against
You can bring that up.
She's grinding up against his pecs because that's where he comes up to on her ass. Okay, moving on. Kaya and I just really quickly wanted to address a movie coming out starring Rebel Wilson. It's a Netflix movie. Comes out on May 13th. It is called Senior Year. And the like TLDR is basically like Rebel Wilson is a cheerleader, like cheer captain, senior in high school or something like that. Has an accident and wakes up 20 years later from a coma and like goes back to high school. It's like kind of never been kissed-y. But it's rated R, which I think is like helping it because like if they were not able to like swear or be dirty, it would be like awful. But this is like one of Rebel Wilson's like first big roles, I think, since like her dramatic transformation and her, and like she lost a ton of weight. And it's interesting to see her in this like new, like she said, like this is like her new found career. Like she is, you know, no longer going to be Fat Amy. She's really going to be able to maybe explore these new roles that Hollywood has otherwise kind of sequestered her away from.
But is this not the same premise? This isn't it romantic when she literally lost her memory?
Okay, wait. I love that movie.
Yeah, me too.
You do?
I'm just saying that I literally do love that movie.
I saw it three times in theaters, Kaya. Actually,
I don't love it that much.
Oh, on the Dip community, somebody asked, what's a movie that like everyone hates that you love? And I literally yesterday they said that. And yeah. I literally wrote, isn't it romantic?
I commented under it and I was like, I love the Whitney Houston like dancing scene. I'm waiting for you to comment.
Okay. Okay. I'll check it out. I think it looks entertaining. It looks like an interesting, like a good spring Netflix movie. But what's mm-hmm. so crazy to me, and maybe there will be some narrative that explains this, is Rebel Wilson is Australian. She's Australian. And nobody else is, including her parents in the movie. So I don't know how that explanation is going to come about. I would like it to be addressed.
Like she woke up 20 years later. Well, not 20, 20 something years later, clearly. But does that mean that like her parents lost their accent? Like, did they transfer her from Australia to America? Like
I don't know
if it will be addressed.
What if they're just like, she maybe when she woke up from a coma she had the accent,
because that's happened before to a person, like they spoke another language or they had an accent.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
But I would love if they didn't address it though and they just left it like that, because I love when movies are like, no, it doesn't make any sense, and guess what, we don't owe you anything.
Also, I will just say the fact that always blows my mind is Rebel Wilson is 42 years old.
Really?
Yes.
How old is Anna Kendrick then?
Oh, I think she's like in her 30s. And there's nothing wrong with being 42 years old. We love a 42
year old. No, but it's just she doesn't seem 42. That's it.
It's just because I think she's always been cast in like, Anna Kendrick is 36. But like Rebel Wilson's always been cast in like, I think just like, roles that feel 20s, you know.
But this also still feels, she's going back to high school, for God's sake. Like this is not the career change that she was talking about at all. This is actually her playing younger. She went from playing a college singer
going
to backwards. A high school student with an accent, and no one else has an accent.
But it is May 13th. Is that Friday the 13th? Ooh,
spooky.
Spooky. Yeah, it is Friday the 13th. Okay, the last thing we have to talk about, and this is arguably the biggest thing. Britney Spears announced on Monday that she is pregnant. Now.
In a very confusing way.
In a very confusing way.
So I don't really know if I don't really know.
She said, I lost so much weight to go on my Maui trip only to gain it back. Shrug. I thought, geez, what happened to my stomach? My husband said, confirmed husband.
Her husband.
Mm-hmm. My husband said, no, you're food pregnant, silly. So I got a pregnancy test and I'm having a baby. 4 days later, I got a little more food pregnant. It's growing. If two are in there, I might just lose it, grimace face. I obviously won't be going out as much due to the paps getting their money shot of me like they unfortunately already have. It's hard because when I was pregnant and I had perinatal depression, I have to say it is horrible, absolutely horrible. Women didn't talk about it back then. Some people considered it dangerous if women complained like that with a baby insider. But now women talk about it every day. Thank Jesus we don't have to keep that pain or reserve a proper secret. This time I will be doing yoga every day. Spread lots of joy and love. So, I mean, she seems pregnant.
Yeah, it's just the journey that she took us on. It's just that she thought she had a food baby. She took a pregnancy test.
She has a real baby. But then also four days later,
she also had another food baby. And now she thinks that she may have twins.
It's a journey. It always is, though. I feel like I'm always reading a riddle with her Instagram.
Yeah.
I will say this, like, I know in like the deposition or whatever, the when she gave that testimony for her conservatorship, and they mentioned the IUD, and she was, you know, said that she was didn't want the IUD, but her family had her put an IUD in, and that she really wanted to have another kid.
Right.
I'm happy for her if this is, you know, that moment. And I just like, I think at this point, like, we don't really ever know what's going on with Britney Spears. And it's just like, you just kind of have to root for her success.
I want her to be happy and healthy. So this is what she wants. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I want her to have a girl if she is pregnant.
I know, me too.
I want her to have a little girl because she would have so much fun because she has the time to spend with the baby and, you know,
got the time and money.
And also we need a Britney Spears in 20 years. So, but what I want to ask you is, do you think that her and Sam have been secretly wed? Are they married?
I mean, that was the rumor. And then now for her to say my husband, I'm going to take her at her word, you know?
Okay.
Don't you think?
I don't know about taking Britney at her word sometimes because I don't understand her word sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they are married, congratulations, because I know I did see a rock on her finger. That's what she wanted. She expressed that she doesn't really have she doesn't want to perform. She wants a family. She wants a husband. She wants a regular life. And it seems like that's what she's getting. So just congratulations to her.
Good for
and
her.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. I mean, that's the crazy thing about a baby is you will find out.
You will find out. You will fuck around and find out.
Kaya, any final words, anything you want to tell people where they can find you and follow the dip and all of that?
Yes. Well, first off, you guys, please join community because some of the questions are like very normal. Oh, should I buy this lamp? Should I buy these shoes?
Yeah.
And then some are completely unhinged. Like, would you rather be a penguin or a camel?
So, which would you rather be?
I definitely would rather be a penguin because they had that movie March of Penguins. And then I also saw this, I don't know if it's a real fact, but it was on Instagram, so it probably is true, that like penguins will push other penguins in the water to see if the waters are shark infested to test the waters first. And I think that that's so gangster. So definitely a penguin.
Okay.
What would you rather be?
A camel.
Why?
I just don't like penguins.
In the hot ass desert.
And
getting rode.
Okay, but do you realize like having a person, one single human on your back when you weigh like 2 tons is not that bad? It's like wearing a backpack as an adult.
I don't like backpacks. So that actually sounds very uncomfortable. And it's like the human is making me walk across the desert. And
that's what they do.
I don't want to do. It's just like horseback riding. It's like, get off of me. Like, okay. I have my own life.
I also never said I was going to be I wanted to be a camel that was like part of tourism. I'd like to be a free roaming camel.
Guess what? You don't get the choice. You're, one day you're chilling.
Okay, what if you're a penguin that lives at like a zoo? In Cincinnati.
I actually would prefer that. I know what I'm going to eat. I know all the penguins there. Like, I'm jumping.
You don't have to shove. You don't have to shove anyone in the water because there's no whales.
Exactly, because I know what's going on.
I don't think that there are sharks where penguins live, but I can't be positive about that. I would love if a penguin was like
positive about it, then we won't speak on it.
Okay? I feel like
I read it on Instagram.
If you were the penguin and even you knew there was no sharks in the water because sharks literally can't survive in that water, you're still gonna test it. You're gonna be like, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, I thought I saw a shark. You just have to check.
No, I'm like, oh, I thought you wanted to go first. Sorry, Romeo.
And then okay. Jump down with. But I agree. Everyone should join the community on thedip.com. Right. Use and the also promo
follow
code.
Me on. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to give people a discount right now. use the promo code SALSA, SALSA, just like, you know, chips and salsa, salsa.
My salsa.
For 75% off your first year subscription. It's a great deal. And yeah, we want to see you there. And then also we want to see you on socials. Okay, Ed? Let it go.
Yes. Follow me at The Dip, and you guys love when I talk about Selling Sunset because that's when I get the most story views and the most replies, and I like talking about Selling Sunset. So if you are a Selling Sunset fan, please come over and follow. And even if you aren't, I talk about a bunch of other things. I talk about The Dropout. I talk about,
oh my god, I just finished it this weekend.
I did not like the finale. I liked the rest of the shows. I felt like it was very like, I liked the beginning of it and up until she pushed Sunny out. But then it's like, we get a new boyfriend, a dog, and she screams and it's over. And I'm just like, what a buildup to end like that. What did you think?
I loved it. And I honestly am just so excited because Amanda Seyfried, at one point I was just Googling, like, why is she so good?
Yeah.
She's amazing in it. And like, everyone I was talking to was like, oh, I'm not like into true crime. I'm like, it's not even the story that I care about.
I'm not into that at all. I still don't really understand the concept of what she did. But I just know it was a good ass show and she lied and she got billions, girl bossing.
Yeah. And now she's going to jail.
And if you like it, I don't know. It seems like she set up Sunny, but whatever.
Well, no, but Kaya, you know that. Kaya, you know that she was like
$139 million mansion with her new.
But she was found guilty.
She was?
Yeah. Did you not read the text at the end?
No, I don't read that shit. Like, I don't.
That you missed the most important thing.
Because I was so mad with how it ended. I'm like, I don't want to read this. Like, I wanted to see it. She was
indicted. And then she was found, she was convicted of defrauding investors, but found not guilty for defrauding patients. She faces up to 20 years in federal prison, plus potentially millions in restitution and fines. Her sentencing is scheduled September 26th of 2022.
Oh my God. Well, right now she's chilling in a $139 million mansion. So it doesn't seem that bad. And if you like The Dropout, please watch Recrashed on Apple TV Plus. Jared Leto and
Anne Hathaway
are absolutely killing it as the people who founded WeWork. And I feel like she's not even playing Gwen Stefani's cousin because that's who the wife is. I feel like, not Gwen Stefani, Gwyneth Paltrow's. She's supposed to be playing Gwyneth Paltrow's cousin because that's who's the wife of the founder of WeWork. But
I didn't know
she
that.
Acts exactly like Gwyneth Paltrow would act. Like, she just, it's insane. Just watch it. Anyways, follow me at The Dip. Love you guys. Follow me at thedip.com on TikTok and at The Dip on Twitter.
And that's it. And thank you guys so much. I know this was a long episode. We had a lot to get through. And Kaya, you'll have come back when Selling Sunset premieres in April
22nd.
Yeah. We'll come back on that Tuesday after. Okay, you guys, thank you so much. I hope everyone has a fantastic week. You can find me at Allison Piwo on Twitter and Instagram. And until next Tuesday, cheers.